Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome in to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Boscarini, alongside Vinny Rondinelli. It's Football Tuesday, and this Tuesday, we are live outside at the Auto Farm Ford location. Vinny, I love taking the show on the road. Typically once a month, we're here at the Auto Farm. Today, we're outside, out front, because it's such a beautiful day. Well, what more could you ask for?
Oh,
we're sitting back, talking football outside the Auto Farm. Great day.
Oh, yeah. There's cars driving by. I think that was that Corvette just drove by us.
Yeah.
We're hanging out in the shade.
In the shade.
It's beautiful, and it's Football Tuesday. I get to see you. That's perfect.
It's a good day. It's a good day. And we have plenty to talk about as far as the NFL and college football goes. Of course, we save this for Tuesdays. But, Vinny, I want to dive right into it before we go over the national headlines and the scores and the schedules. We will be talking a lot about Andrew Luck today. And, of course, the bombshell that hit the NFL over the weekend that he has called it a career. 7 years with the Indianapolis Colts. Six real solid years with this team.
Oh, he was incredible.
He was incredible. And I'm afraid that when we look back 10, 15, 20 years from now, I hope we appreciate what we saw from this guy over the course of his six seasons.
Oh, he was incredible. You know, people don't realize how he really just shouldered an entire franchise there for a little bit. He was amazing. And you know what? We've talked about this before. I had a real good football coach one time. He said, there's 9 billion people on the planet right now. And we have a hard time finding 32 good NFL quarterbacks.
We have 5 elite right now.
Okay.
5 elite.
We have
elite
a hard
right
time
now.
Finding 32 good NFL quarterbacks.
Yep.
And you got a guy that was probably going to go to the Hall of Fame.
If he
plays 15
years,
he's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. How many scouts have said this was the best prospect coming out of college since John Elway?
And I believe that.
Hundreds of scouts and general managers, coaches have said, hey, this guy is the best college prospect going to the NFL since John Elway.
Had the pedigree.
Everything.
Went to Stanford.
Intelligent, tough. I mean, when people are talking about this, questioning his toughness is just tomfoolery.
It's ridiculous.
That's tomfoolery.
He played with a lacerated kidney.
This guy had a shoulder rebuilt.
Yeah.
But the guy was as tough
played
as nails.
Played with an ab tear.
Tough as nails.
Yeah.
And so questioning his toughness is garbage. That's tomfoolery. The NFL's going to miss him. Flat out.
We will talk more Andrew Luck. We'll save that for next segment. I also want to look at the players that have retired, elite players, before the age of 30. There's more than you think.
Oh, yeah.
It's happened quite a few times. And then we'll also explore the idea of Andrew Luck going into the Hall of Fame. Listen, you know I'm a big Andrew Luck guy. I've made that abundantly clear during his entire career on Drive Time Sports. It's crazy to think about. We were 3 years into Drive Time Sports when he came into the league. I've been sold on this kid, watched him play the majority of his college career. Still don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I can't put him in the Hall of Fame, but we will talk about that next segment. Let's talk trade talk in the NFL. The Miami Dolphins are reportedly interested in making a deal for Texan star Jadeveon Clowney. Now, you and I had a conversation off air about where Clowney should go, and you had mentioned maybe throwing Melvin Gordon's name out there. Maybe the Chargers would be a viable spot for him. I know with the trade deadline last year, the Rams tried to make a move for Jadeveon Clowney.
The Rams tried to make a move.
There's been a lot of interest in him, and the Texans do not seem interested in locking him up long-term. For whatever reason, they don't want to lock him up long-term under the franchise tag for a year. Now, according to reports, and this is coming from Adam Schefter and ESPN and also Cameron Wolf, that Laremy Tunsil would have to be included in a deal. If I'm the Dolphins, it doesn't quite make sense for me right now.
No.
It doesn't quite make
sense.
Not with the Tunsil.
You need something here. You're trying to rebuild a football team. You don't even know who your starting quarterback is and your top lineman. Trading him doesn't make sense to me, Jordan. Now, Does Clowney make sense? Absolutely. If you're Miami, you want to make a splash. You have the worst roster in the NFL in my eyes. You have a defensive coach that loves versatile players. Clowney can really do everything.
He can.
And if he puts it together, he's dominant.
And he's only 26.
He's only 26. You need something positive in Miami right now anyways.
And I look at who they have as their head coach. I think Brian Flores could do some wonderful things.
Oh, yeah.
With
he wants him to be – I mean, let's be honest, Jordan. The biggest news coming out of Miami in the last 2 weeks was the receiver and the owner arguing and the owner being kicked off the – whatever it is now, the coalition for player improvement. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's what you're talking about, you got a bad football team.
Worst roster in the NFL.
Well, you got a bad football team. You need some star power. You have money. You have the ability to do it. Do it. Now, I wouldn't include Tunsil, but I'll tell you what, if I was the Dolphins, I'd be all in with Jadeveon Clowney.
It makes sense, and again, giving up Tunsil, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to roll with Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't really care if he has any protection anyway. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I think that's a waste of a
– It is.
That's just a waste of time.
It is, especially when you make a trade for Josh Rosen. Now, if you're going to roll out Rosen – he needs some protection.
He needs some protection.
Okay, so that's really where it breaks down, at least in my mind. It may be a real simplistic way of taking a look at it, but that's the big news coming out of the NFL. Let me throw this one at you before we move away from this topic. Clowney starts the season in a Texans uniform, or do you think he gets dealt between now and the start of the regular season?
I think he's dealt.
Within the next week and a half?
I think he's dealt. There's smoke, there's fire. Now people are going to be calling in. You're getting closer to that kickoff. Everybody's getting nervous now. Clowney's not going to play. If we can get something for him, let's get something for him. And I think Le'Veon Bell had an effect on this.
Maybe so.
I think Le'Veon Bell, yep. Antonio Brown, the things you're seeing where you're losing, you're not gaining anything. If Clowney don't sit down and you lose him, you've just wasted it. If you could have got a pick, whatever it was, you could have got something for a guy. Mm-hmm. Get it.
Well, and I've said this multiple times, and I'm going to go back to it. The NFL is a copycat league. Now, when I say it's a copycat league, I'm talking in terms of ownership, general manager.
Everything.
Yeah, but it is trickling through the players, right? You
Absolutely.
See someone take a precedent, right? Setting the precedent is what I should say, and that's what Le'Veon Bell did do.
Yeah, and the Steelers, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, the Steelers didn't gain anything out of that.
No.
And they got nothing in return. You don't want to be the Texans. If you're Bill O'Brien, who don't have a general manager, they got problems anyways. Let's be honest. The Texans front office has problems because a coach can't do both, and that's what he's doing now. So, you know, they're going to need some help in their front office. And if you're Bill O'Brien, if you're not going to get nothing for Clowney, you just wasted it. Yeah, that's just a waste of a player and an opportunity to get better, Jordan, in my mind.
Isn't it odd that franchise, with what they have offensively, you got the best wide receiver in football, or at least one of them. On the flip side, you have a guy in Will Fuller who I think is dynamic as can be. You got an excellent shot, or an excellent slot, excuse me, in Cutie. So, I mean, as far as the options at wideout go, you're set. You have Deshaun Watson, who's a rare breed. We've never seen a quarterback dominate high school, college, in the NFL, and he has the opportunity to do that, right? And then Lamar Miller goes down, so your main priority right now should be replacing Lamar Miller.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the Jadeveon Clowney situation. And that's bizarre to me that Houston's in this predicament.
And saving the money. Hey, look, saving the money, you don't have to pay Clowney. Maybe you turn that capital you get for him and flip it for somebody else.
Like a Melvin Gordon.
Like Melvin Gordon. Pay him. If you got the money and you need him, pay him.
Yeah, because the offense is set up to win right now.
Oh, yeah. This is a good football team. It's a good roster.
It is a good football
team. So take advantage of it. If Watt is healthy and the rest of the defensive players, Clowney, you know, the guy's never had double-digit sacks.
He's had injury problems for the majority of his career, yeah.
He can be dominant, but we've never seen him completely dominate.
Not to the extent that we expected.
Yeah.
So let me throw a comparison out there for you since we're talking about the Houston Texans. From what you've seen so far out of Jadeveon Clowney or Mario Williams, who you use the number 2 pick on.
Yeah, kind of the same player.
It kind of is the same player.
Physically dominant, everything going for him, and never took over. You just never see them take over the game.
Take that back. They used the first pick on Williams.
They used
Bush
the first pick.
Yeah, they
Bush
did.
Went second.
They
yeah.
did.
And they were laughed at.
They were
laughed at. And Mario Williams had a good NFL career, but he never dominated the way you thought he could. And you get that same thing with Clowney. You know, you don't see that, even though he has the ability, you don't see Khalil Mack, Von Miller, Joey Bosa, those guys.
Bosa. Aaron,
Donald, yeah. Donald's
you don't
incredible.
Bobby Wagner's another one. Luke
Kuechly. They take the game over.
They do.
And I've never seen it from Clowney.
No, and again, he was number 1 pick in the draft.
So. Flip him. If you can get something for him, flip him, because you're going to lose him anyways. You've made it. At this point, it's clear you're not going to be able to sign him long-term. Get something for him.
That relationship is gone.
Yeah, get something for him.
I agree. Let's move over to Major League Baseball. We'll take a look at the scoreboard. No day games, but we do have a lot of games that will impact the wild card and divisional races. We'll begin in the 5 o'clock hour. The Baltimore Orioles will travel to meet the Washington Nationals at 5:05. Tonight, we have the Pirates and the Phillies. The Phillies right now trying to stay in the wild card race at 67-62. They have had some injury issues, and of course right now just slipping in that division a tad bit. Opportunity to get back on track with a game against the Pirates. The Braves, who lost yesterday to the Rockies, but have hit that 80-win plateau already with about 30 to go. They take on the Blue Jays tonight at 5:07. The Mets will battle the Cubbies. Chicago, hoping that Yu Darvish can continue to turn his season around. The Mets have come back down to earth, but the Cubs right now a couple of games back of the Cardinals in the Central Division. The Indians will take on the Tigers at 5:10. The Reds battle the Marlins in meaningless baseball at 5:10. We get the Cardinals and Brewers at 5:40. 6 o'clock hour, Twins at White Sox. Rays will battle the Astros. Love this series. Love this matchup. Tampa Bay right now at 76 wins. The Astros at 85. Vinny, let's make a football reference here. At the beginning of the season, Tampa Bay had a home game where they drew less than 5,000 fans.
Okay, that's tough.
There was talk about them playing half their regular season games in Montreal. I thought it was a fun story at the beginning of the year, and I'm going back to June, May. You have the Rays are at the top of the AL East. You know, you have the Yankees, you have the Red Sox, and of course the Yankees became the Yankees. But the Rays are still in the playoffs as we get down to the final 30 games, and this is a team that was drawing 5,000 people.
Yeah,
think about that.
That's incredible. And that's a great story. That
is a good story, yeah.
Because baseball is not a level field. We talk about this all the time, parity in the NFL, college football, everywhere else. There's some sort of parity. In baseball, there's none. Whatever money you can manage, you can spend it.
Yeah, you can.
And so
you have a luxury tax, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So you know, the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the LA Dodgers, and they're going to dominate.
They're going to spend.
They're going to do what they have to do. So it's cool. It's cool when Minnesota was on top. These smaller market teams making something happen. It's good for baseball.
I agree with that.
It's good for baseball.
I agree. It's a good story in Tampa Bay. Oakland will take on the Royals at 6:15, and then the Red Sox are at Coors Field. They'll battle the Colorado Rockies, 6:40 start time there. 7 o'clock hour, one game, Arizona at San Francisco. And then tonight, the 8 o'clock hour, the Rangers will battle the Angels. The Padres will look to take their second game from the Dodgers. They beat the NL's best last night, 4-3, and then we get the Yankees and the Mariners to close out the slate. That's a look at the national headlines as far as the scores and schedules in Major League Baseball go and the NFL. Again, we are live at the Auto Farm Price Ford location. We're going to be down here throughout the remainder of the show talking football, local sports recap coming up, and then we'll dive into the NFL when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Here, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM, KOAL.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. It is Football Tuesday. We are live at the Auto Farm Ford location. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. I love taking the show out on the road, and today we're outside in the beautiful warm weather. Vinny, we're going to talk Andrew Luck in the Indianapolis Colts. I went into this yesterday. I wanted to save the meat and bones for today. We briefly started talking about it during the intro. Basically, you're going to hear me say exactly what I said yesterday in this regard. Shame on any Indianapolis Colt or NFL football fan that had anything negative to say about Andrew Luck walking away from the game on Saturday. Shame on you.
Shame on you. That's tomfoolery. It's a classy guy. Played through a lot, and it was his time. That guy felt it was his time, and who are we to judge him? He, you know, this guy could have been a Hall of Fame football player, and that was his time to go. He was in pain, and that's just garbage, really, Jordan.
It's complete and total garbage.
Garbage.
I can go over the list of injuries that Andrew Luck endured during his career in 6 years: torn cartilage in two ribs, a torn abdomen, a lacerated kidney, one concussion, torn labrum in his throwing shoulder, a leg and calf injury, which I believe is a little bit more serious than what we are aware of. And on top of everything else, those are the injuries that we know of.
Not you know of.
Those are the ones that had to be
regular,
documented.
That,
right.
That's no bumps or bruises or sprains and things like that. And we've seen that guy take a beating, Jordan. Well, we've seen him, especially in his career, just take a beating. And he took that team on his back.
He did.
And remember, before he got there, 1-15.
Yeah, 2-14.
2-14.
And it was the end of the Peyton Manning era, and around that, it would have been 2 years after
was
that.
Was Curtis Painter was throwing the ball for him or something? Who would
that? Well, we had Fran Tarkenton on the show, and Fran was so upset with Jim Irsay and the lack of weapons that he had put around Andrew Luck, that on this show, Fran Tarkenton said, I would have demanded a trade if I was Andrew Luck. And now that I look back on his career, remember, Irsay also, he had some problems as well, some personal issues that were out in the news
as well.
He had
some very personal problems.
And Andrew Luck was quiet about it. Andrew Luck took a beating. I know last year they did make some improvements to the offensive line, but by that point, all the injuries that I just went over, those had already happened.
Yeah, they've already happened.
Okay, so for about 3 years, 3 to 4 years, they did nothing in the form of helping Andrew Luck, or as I like to say on this show, protecting the asset.
They didn't do any of that. No.
He carried the whole team. He did, and he never said a word about it.
No.
Okay, so if you were to put someone in the Hall of Fame based on averages, not necessarily how long they played, but based on what they accomplished in the period of time that they played, and how they conducted themselves off of the field as well as on the field.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Now, Vinny, as much as I love Andrew Luck, and I will sit here and defend him against anyone for as long as I am on the air, that guy is someone that I want leading my franchise. That's a guy. If my kid wanted to wear an Andrew Luck jersey, I'd buy you an Andrew Luck jersey.
Absolutely.
All right? At the same time, I don't think I could vote to put Andrew Luck in the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's tough to do. I don't know. There's some extenuating circumstances, and we have to consider all these other players. Now, I'll tell you what, a hometown hero. Let's throw this out here, Jordan. It's interesting. Hometown hero. Hey, and my buddy Big Heath Tanner, we had this discussion today. There's another name. There's two names I want to talk about. Number one, Steve Young, the hometown boy from Provo, Utah, right?
Okay.
The pride of Brigham Young University. If you look at his career, Steve Young was a backup or marginal player in the NFL longer than he was a starter.
Yes.
When you take up the USFL, which was a complete waste of his time, a horrible showing at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a backup player to Joe Montana, and then the injuries he suffered to retire when he did, you're talking about a guy that did not play well longer than he played well. And he got into the Hall of Fame. First ballot Hall of Famer, if I believe.
No questions
We'll
asked.
Have to hang that.
Yeah.
We'll have to look that up. The same time Dan Marino did. And Dan Marino walked into the NFL and dominated from basically mid-rookie year. Dan Marino, you could say, changed the NFL game. Steve Young was a backup, longer than a starter, and they got in on the same ballot.
So Steve Young had 7 years where he was a Pro Bowl. He had a 7-year career where he was a standout Pro Bowl-type quarterback. Now, during those 7 years, though, Vinny, this is the only argument I would make. He did not have a losing season.
Correct.
He did not have a losing season as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
But let's be honest. Those are not bad football teams he's playing for either.
They were great football teams.
He had weapons all over the joint.
He did, and he was a part of one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college football team ever. Pro football team ever.
Ever.
And I'm talking about the
ever.
49ers in 1994. One of the greatest.
That's the best football team I ever saw.
But he was the catalyst behind that.
And correct. Now, and let's throw this name out there. Then we're going to throw out Terrell Davis.
Okay.
So Terrell Davis had a 4-year run. That's it. 4 years where he was healthy in the NFL. He did rush for 2,000 yards. I get that. He did get 2 Super Bowl rings. He was only healthy 4 years.
Very true. Very true. And that brings
up Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers dominated the game in several aspects. Remember, he was returning kicks and punts as well.
And
that accounts for something.
I think he only played in the NFL for 7 years.
7 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you got to take into the fact that these guys, maybe their career didn't have the longevity, but while they were in there. So if Steve Young only starred for 7 years and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer,
Andrew Luck,
6 years, this guy was incredible.
So here's the big knock, though, that you can't use on Steve Young that you will use against Andrew Luck. Never played in a Super Bowl, right? That matters. I think he went to one AFC championship game, and that was it. They got blasted by – yeah, the Flategate. They got blasted by the Patriots. He had a never-ending cycle of injuries. He played in 86 games. That's it. That's all he played in was 86 games.
So, but he had, I think, what did he get, 5 full seasons in the NFL? 5 16-game seasons? Andrew Luck?
I think 6.
Okay, 6. So, again, Steve Young played 7.
7 full seasons.
7 full seasons as a starter.
7
okay.
Pro Bowl seasons.
I think let's look at this objectively, too. Andrew Luck's weapons as a Colt. T.Y. Hilton. Anybody else?
Well,
anybody else?
He had Reggie Wayne towards the end of his career.
Briefly. Okay, now let's look at Steve Young. We're going to throw out what?
Jerry Rice.
We're going to throw out Ricky Waters. Ricky Waters.
Yeah.
He had some pretty good football players.
You got a fair point. Played with T.O. for a little bit.
T.O.
You know, though.
Even J.J. Stokes did pretty good.
J.J. Stokes was great there for about 2 or 3 years. He was a solid
third option.
He
was never hurting for weapons.
But that never comes into play when we put someone in the Hall of Fame.
And it should.
It should, but it doesn't.
When you're voting, like when you said I couldn't vote for him, for me, absolutely no doubt. First time Luck's eligible, I'd say that's the best prospect we've seen coming out of football since John Elway. He single-handedly took a team on his back and went to the playoffs with a team that was pretty talent-wise. They were bad. I think he was down 4 touchdowns against a team that was way better than him in the Chiefs, and he brought him back.
Well, you make great points, but the fact of the matter is, and this could be right or wrong, right? I don't think we can throw Barry Sanders in the same category. I don't think we can put him in the same category as Terrell Davis. Earl Campbell's another one. Earl Campbell retired when he was 30 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Never played in a Super Bowl.
Never went to a Super Bowl.
Barry Sanders only won one playoff game.
Jim Brown did not play. I think he retired before the age of 30,
Nine seasons, Jim Brown.
Quarterbacks are held to a different standard.
They just are.
Right or wrong, they just are. Look, Rob Gronkowski is one of the greatest tight ends to ever play. I don't believe Gronk will have any problems getting into the Hall of Fame. I don't think he will. Even though the Patriots won a Super Bowl without him.
What's he only played 8 years?
Played 8 seasons.
8 seasons, okay.
Just shy of his 30th birthday, right? And he played in 100 career regular season games, 79 touchdowns, 7,800 yards. Now, for tight end, that's impressive. I get that. He will be held to a different standard than Andrew Luck.
And that's wrong. Andrew Luck.
It may not be right, but it's factual.
Andrew Luck single-handedly took his team to the playoffs. He should be remembered for that. This is a guy throwing the ball to, I mean, what are they, 2-14? I think the quarterback was Curtis Painter.
Yeah.
Okay, now the year before he got injured, I think they won 10 games. Where's the fact checker? Anyways, I think they won 10 games the year before he was hurt, and then he wasn't there. What, they win 4 games?
Oh, yeah, they were terrible.
They were terrible.
They were terrible. Yeah, they were.
The guy was worth 6 games alone?
But
Jordan, the guy was incredible.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all, because if you go back to 2015, he played 7 games. He was 2-5, I think, when he went out. He played in 7 games. He wasn't even close.
No, he wasn't right. That shouldn't count.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. And, in fact, if you look at Andrew Luck throughout the course of his career, I don't believe, other than that year, I don't believe he ever had a losing record.
No.
I mean, his first year as a starter in the NFL, he was 23 years old. He went 11-5. And one of the aspects that we'll never talk about Andrew Luck, he'll never get credit for this, he was a hell of a runner, too.
Oh, yeah. Incredible athlete.
He could scoot.
Incredible athlete. Do you remember when he came out and there was actually people throwing in the Robert Griffin, you know, this guy's more of an athlete, he should be the number one pick?
Nuts.
That was an absolute – I used to laugh at people.
Well, it was people that didn't watch him in college.
Oh, I just laugh at people and they'd say, what are you laughing at? I go, that's tomfoolery. That's malarkey, Jordan.
His best season, when you really take a look, it was last year.
39 touchdowns.
It was his best season. He was comeback player of the year last year, went to the Pro Bowl.
They improved the O-line.
They improved. They drafted Quentin Nelson, who I believe gets into Canton. But the bottom line is quarterbacks are held to a different standard.
And it's wrong.
And I don't know that a 4-time Pro Bowl quarterback gets into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they should. 4 out of 7, that's pretty incredible to me. There's no doubt about it. And then when you just look at Steve Young, I guess he gets to say, oh, I was on the greatest team of all time, so I got a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Steve Young went to more Pro Bowls than Andrew Luck played in the NFL, than seasons that Andrew Luck had in the NFL.
Yeah, but he's also, I think he has, under professional football, 15 years in the NFL? We have to look that up. I think
Steve Young?
Yeah. 14 or 15 years, and 7 of them he was dominant, and he got in?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's less than half.
Yeah, but again, 7 years is more than what Andrew Luck played.
Well, but Andrew Luck chose to walk.
He did choose to walk.
So,
and listen.
So basically what you're saying is you think, honestly, if we break this down, we're saying that Andrew Luck choosing to walk cost himself his jacket.
Yeah.
And that could be, but so we can both agree, though, Andrew Luck plays 5 more seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. If Andrew Luck gets to 10 seasons in the NFL, which is 3 more seasons, he's in. But, you know, longevity is part of what makes a player great. Be it right or wrong, it's what makes a player great. Right now, look, if Todd Gurley was to put together four more seasons like he has the last two, he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because his knee is not going to allow him to have 4 years at the level that he has had over the last two. Sean Alexander is another case, right? Sean Alexander put together two historical seasons. He really did. But there's a different level for each position.
And I think
it's
you're right about
standard.
That.
It's a different
standard. Yeah, and I think you're right about that. And I think we both agree that, you know, the Hall of Fame's lost a little luster.
It has, no
doubt.
It
really has, because instead of the Hall of Fame, it's really the, what do you like to call it, the Hall of?
A very good.
A very good.
It's not the Hall of Great anymore.
It's the Hall of Very Good. So some of that, I agree with you. The Hall of Fame's lost its luster, but I think he should get in.
And we don't talk about weapons. We don't talk about that. Again, I don't want to be a homer here, but Kurt Warner gets into the Hall of Fame. Nobody's mentioned that he took the Rams and the Cardinals to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about that.
Yeah, but he did have some weapons.
He did have some weapons.
Especially on the Rams.
But he created those weapons. What kind of success did those weapons have
and
without
some of it,
him?
Well, let's talk about pure luck. What if Rodney Harrison doesn't hit Trent Green?
Oh, yeah. Well, they, we never
in,
see
in
him.
Practice,
we never
in
see
practice,
him.
Trent Green won the job.
Right.
Kurt Warner was far and away the backup. Mm-hmm. And he got his time to shine in that offense, and it clicked.
And he did.
He may never, ever even saw the field.
And you wonder how many times that's happened to players.
Oh, yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is, I agree with you on what you're saying about Andrew Luck. I do. But the fact is, we don't ever take that into consideration
it's
when
true.
We put a guy in a Hall of Fame.
And it's wrong.
And it is wrong.
It is.
Wrong. It is wrong.
It is wrong. So, and the Hall other of guys that walk away, you know, we're going to talk about Barry.
Barry.
One playoff win, right?
One playoff win.
Yeah. I think Calvin Johnson only had one playoff win. If we're going to talk
and
about
I don't
Detroit.
Think I don't think Calvin gets into the Hall of Fame either.
Megatron?
I don't think Megatron gets in.
Oh,
I really don't think Megatron gets in. He didn't play long enough.
Is this our first on-air real disagreement?
I'm not saying that Calvin Johnson wasn't worthy of it. I'm saying I don't think he gets in.
Whoever's not voting for Calvin Johnson needs to take their vote away. I don't know who's listening right now. Probably none of the Hall of Fame voters. But if you are listening and you don't vote for Calvin Johnson,
he's not going to get on the
first
ballot.
Turn your ballot in.
He's not going to get on the
first ballot. That's ridiculous. Michael Irvin's in the Hall of Fame and Calvin Johnson ain't.
Look, I'm with you. If I had a vote, I would vote for Calvin Johnson. But I'm saying he retired. He was 30 when he retired. He walked away with a lot left in the tank, won one playoff game.
He was the most dominant player
of the last century. He was.
He was incredible.
I'm just saying, if I had to make a prediction, I don't think they put him in.
Then I think we should boycott the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think we should boycott it anyway because
one of my guys
who revolutionized the game of
the
football
the most important offensive mind in NFL history is not in the Hall of Fame.
And I got to make this perfectly clear. I'm not saying that these guys should not get in the Hall of Fame.
You just don't think they will.
I just don't think they will.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and that's a problem with the Hall of Fame. That's the problem with the Hall of Fame. When you're watching, if you know anything about football and you're watching the game of football and you see Calvin Johnson, you're going, that's a Hall of Fame player.
But
the guy was incredible.
Longevity's part of it, though. Longevity is part of it. What you bring
character
to the game.
Character should be part of it.
Well, I agree with you 100% there. I mean, to be a Hall of Famer, right, you have to exemplify greatness on and off the field. I've always believed that. And I don't want to go down this road again. But that's why Pete Rose will never and should never get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I believe that you have to live up to, and every time I say that, people are going to throw, well, Ty Cobb, and that's why I don't want to go down that road. But no, it should. Character should be part of it.
It
should be, and it's not.
And numbers shouldn't be everything when you take into consideration. Numbers shouldn't be everything.
So let me end with this. Andrew Luck, does he get in, yes or no?
Yes.
Not should he get in, does he get in?
Yes.
Okay.
He's getting in.
I'm going to say no, he doesn't get in. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and talk college football when we return right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. We are live at the Auto Farm Ford location. We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Football Tuesday, we are live at the Auto Farm Ford location. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. Vinny, I want to move over to college football. We had college football this past weekend. We got a big one coming up on Thursday. Utah, BYU. People around here get up for this game, and rightfully so. Travis yesterday on the show made a bold prediction. He's rolling with BYU on Thursday.
I like it. I like it, and I'll tell you why. If you're BYU, you know, and people don't want to hear this, especially in our little local Castle Valley here, but if you're BYU, what do you have to lose?
Nothing.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
Nobody wants you as a bowl on the bowl schedule. You don't have a conference. You're very select in who you can even have, your fan base and your player base. If you're BYU, you have nothing to lose. So if I'm BYU going into this game and I'm the coach, I'm pulling all the stops, Jordan. I'm going for it. I'm going to pull the onside, trick plays. I've had 6 months to get ready for it. You know, since spring practice, I've been beating into the heads, hey, we just have to beat Utah. That would be my number one goal to start this season. Because you have a chance to do something, maybe get your season on the right, get started. It's a rivalry game. You'll ruin Utah's season.
Yeah,
if they lose to BYU,
they're done.
They're done. Nobody wants Utah.
No. Lee Corso picked them to go to the national championship, and I will tell you fans right now, you can run the table in the Pac-12. If you lose to BYU on Thursday, you have no chance of getting in. They would take a two-loss Notre Dame team. They would take a two-loss SEC squad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They would take a two-loss ACC team over a one-loss Utah team that lost to BYU, because the Pac-12 doesn't gain – they don't have any respect anyway. And Arizona did the Pac-12
no favors
on Saturday. I don't think that people understand the impact that Hawaii game had on the Pac-12.
And if I'm BYU, I'm playing off that, and I'm going to say, look, we can ruin their whole season. That's our rivalry school. We compete with that school. We recruit against that school. If you're BYU, throw it all out. Just let it all hang out, because guess what? You're not going anywhere.
No.
And you can ruin Utah's season. As of right now, again, preseason rankings are meaningless, right?
They are.
They really are. But as of right now, Utah's going to play a number 23 Washington State team and a number 13 Washington team. I think that's the only ranked teams on their schedule. Jordan, I think they're playing two ranked teams. So, theoretically, Utah could run and go 10-0 and get into the Pac-12 title game.
Meanwhile, you look at what BYU has. They have Utah, they have Tennessee, they have USC and Washington, their first month of the season. It's the most difficult schedule in the country, hands down.
You're going to be underdogs in every game.
Absolutely. And you've also hit a crossroads with your head coach in Kalani Sitake.
You've hit a crossroads. Where are you going?
Yeah, because if he doesn't get the job done this year, he's on his way out.
He's on his way out.
I'll tell you what could make make everybody around BYU happy and tolerate another year of Kalani Sitake if it's underwhelming. And by underwhelming, I'm talking a 6-7 win season, right? Beating Utah.
That buys you some time.
It does buy you some time.
Absolutely.
It does.
If you split those two games, somehow, someway, you split those two games, he's back.
Yeah, because
he's got to play that. He's got to coach that way, Jordan.
I think he will.
He's on the hot seat. That program, let's be honest, it's a mid-major at this point, right? I mean, let's be honest, a meddling program. They're not going anywhere.
But what's been what's the big knock on Harbaugh right now at Michigan? Forget the fact that Michigan hasn't won a national championship.
He can't beat Ohio State.
That's the big knock.
Yeah, he can't beat Ohio State.
Right? And it's been, 8 years since Utah has lost to BYU, counting the bowl game, 8 or 9 years? So, again, no, I agree with you. If Sitake and BYU find a way to win, I think he gets another season. Now, with that being said, superior quarterback play, that has to happen on Thursday for
Absolutely.
BYU to win this game.
If they don't win the turnover battle, they got no chance. And they're going to have to create some sort of score, Jordan. I mean by a onside kick, a defensive touchdown, a trick play. Because, let's be honest, Utah's probably got a better roster.
Oh, they have a better roster.
They're going to have a better roster and a better team.
And Ute fans, and I know I'm on a Ute affiliate station, but I got to be factual here. If I have to choose between Tyler Huntley or Zach Wilson, I'd take Zach Wilson right now.
Well,
I really would, because, again, with Tyler Huntley, this guy is not proven. I think that Huntley can play. We've been saying this since he was a sophomore.
Yeah, he can play.
He can play. He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, availability trumps
ability. All the time.
All the time.
And so I think if Zach Wilson can find a way to outperform Tyler Huntley, I think BYU has a chance to win this football game.
Now, they do. It's a rivalry game. It's an opening game. That's important, the fact that you made. The opening game of these seasons are crazy. Nobody knows. Week one is a toss-up every year, especially in the NFL, even worse than college. But week one is a toss-up rivalry game. Utah's on the road. You got those fans. They love BYU football in Provo. I tell you what, if Sitake doesn't throw it all out and plays a conservative, he should be fired.
Well, here's the other thing when you mention it, the first game of the year, and I think it's an aspect that gets overlooked. The best opportunity, Appalachian State beats Michigan. I don't want to keep hating on Michigan. I'm not hating on Michigan. I'm using them for an example. That was the first game of the year.
Oh, yeah. Week 8, that doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
No, not at all.
Because you have all offseason to prep for one school. Opening games favor the underdog.
Absolutely.
Every year. I mean, college football, it favors the underdog. I'm not talking about the NFL where you're rolling out 53 professional players. You have your college team, if you're at home or whatever, you have 70 kids that you're prepping for one school for 6 months. BYU's been prepping for Utah for 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
They
have spring practice.
Yes.
Spring practice they started. And they know a lot about these kids. They know a lot about each other.
Yeah. And really, again, I'm going back to the quarterback position for BYU. I think it all starts with Zach Wilson. I think he's going to be the contributing factor in this game against Utah. Now, we'll talk more about Utah and BYU in the coming days. I have to throw this in there because I'm staring at a man right now that's wearing a USC Trojan polo. And for all the hype around Utah, you can't convince me that Utah has more talent than USC because they don't.
They don't.
They don't.
They don't.
Now, Utah is much more well-coached, right?
And we're going to find out.
Well, they are.
So far, yeah. To this point, you're right.
Whittingham is a much better coach than Clay Helton. And I think USC fans would jump for joy if news came out tomorrow that said Kyle Whittingham is the new head coach at USC. They would because Kyle Whittingham is a great coach.
Yeah,
and we know this.
Yep.
Okay. But don't think for one second that Utah is not getting the recruits of USC because USC is consistently in the top 15 as far as recruiting classes go for a reason. It's SoCal,
yeah,
right? It's a storied college football program.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason the Pac-12 is not taken serious right now
is
because
down.
They stink right now.
Yep.
And this is, again, I'm talking about Kalani Sitake being at a crossroad. This is it for Clay Helton.
Oh, yeah.
This is it.
If he doesn't get in right up against the playoffs, he needs to be fired.
And he probably will.
And he probably will.
Now, with that being said, we also take a look at who is being rumored for a USC job, and this is starting to pick up a lot of steam, and I am a believer of where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm a firm believer of that. You talked about this earlier on in the show. The name that keeps getting floated around is Urban Meyer. We haven't seen the last of Urban Meyer.
He takes a year off. He resurfaces.
Because I believe that...
And he's looking for prime jobs. Urban Meyer is looking for prime jobs.
Well, Urban Meyer did not retire from Ohio State.
No, they mutually agreed
To part ways. They did.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
And so I'm tying this back to Utah because Pac-12 South, Urban Meyer has ties to Utah. The Utes have to get past USC. To me, that's their biggest competition in the South. It's not Arizona. We saw that dumpster fire on Saturday.
No. Nope.
It's not Arizona State. I think they're better. But, again, it's not Arizona State.
It's not UCLA.
Not yet. Give UCLA another year or two under Chip Kelly. Let's see if he can implement his system with it. Because he doesn't need top five. He doesn't need five-star athletes. He didn't have that at Oregon. He finds three-star recruits, and they fit his puzzle piece. That's what Chip Kelly does. He did that in Oregon. They were never in the top 30 for recruiting classes. So
correct.
It's going to take a couple of years for that to come to fruition. Their top competition is USC. And if Clay Helton and the Trojans are under 500 or at 500 by the time we get to the middle of October, he is gone.
He should be.
And Urban Meyer is the name that keeps getting floated
around. Urban Meyer, he's looking for a job. It's funny enough, I actually called this years ago. This is true. I'm not tooting my own horn here. I was reading up on Urban Meyer, and I called to my buddy who was a big-time Ute fan. I said, this is the next coach. Utah's on the brink right now. This is a good football team. This is a program. This is the guy. And he was. He was looking for a spot that he was going to make that jump. He was a Bowling Green. He dominated.
Yep.
This guy had been coached. He coached with everybody.
He was great special teams at Notre Dame.
Oh, he was wonderful as an assistant coach.
Yeah, he was.
He's been everywhere. He was a Bowling Green. They dominated. He was looking for the next step. He takes it at Utah. He knew right then, hey, I'm moving on. Utah's not a career job.
Had a Heisman contender
in
Alex
Meyer
Smith.
Had no intention of ever retiring at Utah.
I agree.
Next step, hey, he had Notre Dame in the bag, passed on that job. Why?
Academic standards.
Exactly right. So where does he end up?
Florida.
Florida wins two national titles there.
In 3 years.
Wins two national titles there.
With questionable characters.
With questionable characters.
But he still won.
Things aren't going his way. His style is very abrasive, and it's short-lived, too. This isn't a guy that's going to be somewhere for 12, 15 years, Jordan. That's not how he rolls.
Yeah.
There's only so much Urban Meyer a university is going to take. Is that a good way to put it? Okay, Florida's like, okay, we're moving on. There's a health reason when he leaves Florida, okay?
Okay, so but everything...
There's a health reason when he leaves Florida.
Yeah, so he comes back a year later.
Ohio State.
Right.
It runs its course. He's won national titles. Things are falling apart there. He's got another kind of, however you want to put it, another controversy. So, hey, I'm unhealthy. We need a new young coach. I got an assistant. We'll just mutually part ways. Urban Meyer's not for everybody.
But look, everything that you just mentioned fits the USC
mold. Exactly.
USC, look, I do not like University of
Southern I know you don't like USC.
In fact, I can't stand USC. Urban Meyer
is perfect.
Is perfect for that program.
And right? A 4 or 5 year run. That's all they need.
Yeah.
I mean, year two, Urban Meyer, year two, he's in the playoffs.
If you think at any point in time Pete Carroll ran a kosher program at USC, you are in denial. You're in denial if you think that at any point in time during one of the greatest runs in college football history that Pete Carroll was not aware of the wrongdoings that were going on at USC. You're completely wrong. And they let it slide for as long as they possibly could.
And I disagree with you on some of these points, Jordan. I think to the point of how much we put on the college, the head coach himself is too much.
For him
to know what every 18-year-old kid is doing, he's got 90 kids on the roster, 80 on scholarship, right? I think they can give out 80 scholarships.
They can give up, right.
Okay, so you have 80 kids that are anywhere from 17 years old to 21. For him to know 24/7 every single thing they're doing and everybody they're interacting with, that's too much for a college football coach to
know. He doesn't need to know what every player on that team
he
is
doesn't,
doing.
He doesn't. I disagree.
Because
the university
needs,
has to help him.
He needs to know Reggie Bush was a larger-than-life athlete at USC. He has to know that his family is living in a house that they did not pay for. Lendell White was a larger-than-life athlete at USC. He has to know that this guy is pulling up in a brand-new Range Rover. He has to know what his star athletes, and he did know, and you can't convince
me
otherwise.
Maybe he did, but...
Oh, he did. Come on, he did.
But let's talk about that. But that's apples and oranges, too. That's wrong. I'm not backing PD football here. Is wrong.
Thank you.
However, some of these other guys and what they're dealing with, a lot worse than maybe a house or a car.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
I mean, let's even bring back our Urban Meyer. He's coaching a serial killer.
Yes, he was.
Aaron Hernandez is, let's just say, the guy was a serial killer.
Vinny, I would love to continue this conversation.
We could talk about this for days.
Unfortunately, we are out of time at the Auto Farm Ford location. I love coming down here. We'll be back from the Auto Farm studios tomorrow. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. NASCAR Live is coming up next. Be safe. We are out.